Luke 16, verses 19 through 31. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fed sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and you are tormented. And besides all of this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us. Then he said, I beg you therefore, Father, that you would send them to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, No, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to him, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one would rise from the dead. Tonight, the message is entitled, 5 minutes after we die. 5 minutes after we die. In the book of Hebrews, the scripture tells us that it is appointed unto men once to die. It is a scientific fact that someday you and I and all who now live will die. Our hearts will stop beating and pumping blood through our bodies. Our chest will no longer rise and fall with each breath. Our brain will stop sending millions of signals to various parts of our bodies. Millions of people will die this year in the USA. Some will be friends of ours. Some will be friends of mine. Some will be friends of yours. Perhaps by the end of the year, some of us will be among those we classify as dead. Just yesterday, I received word of a death in the family. How many of us have repeated the question of the ages that is found in Job chapter 14, verse 14? It says, if a man dies, will he live again? This is the question that Job puts forth. If a man dies, will he live again? The question that we must ask ourselves today, what will happen to me? What will happen to you 5 minutes after you die? And the only place we can find an accurate answer to our question is in the Word of God. And I just read you the text in the book of Luke, and it tells us where we will spend our eternity. From this text, we learn a lot about the afterlife. And from this text, we learn several things that will happen to us 5 minutes after we die, if not 5 seconds after we die. The first thing that we learn, that 5 minutes after we die, that we shall be alive. All of us, we shall be alive. In verse 22, we see that both Lazarus and the rich man had died. Both had died. And we can be assured that when Lazarus died, that there was no funeral. He was poor. He was a beggar. There was no funeral. And they probably took his body out to the valley of Gehenna. And he was thrown into the valley of Gehenna. That's where he was buried. When this rich man died, we can rightly assume that there was a big funeral. Like when a politician dies, the limousines was lined up down the block. There was hundreds of cars following him right down the road. So you got a beggar and you got a rich man. Many people, they would have came out to mourn the death of the wealthy. They would have placed his body in a first-rate tomb with all the trappings, with all the trimmings, with all the big, glorious things. I've been to quite a few funerals over the last few years, and I'd like to share something with you that I have learned. As a minister, I go to funerals, I go to wakes all the time. I'd like to share something with you that I've learned. I've learned that whether you're rich, whether you're poor, whether you have lots of friends, whether you have few, whether you're placed in a rich man's tomb, or whether your body is thrown into the valley of Gehenna, we would call that potter's field today, when death comes knocking at your door, you're just as dead as the next person. No funerals, big funerals. It doesn't matter. Black, white, female, male, Asian, Latino, African American, Irish, German, it don't matter what you are. We're all going to die. All of us. We need to understand that death is not extinction. It is not extinction. Adam, in the day he ate the forbidden fruit, the scripture says died. Physically, he didn't die until 900 years later. But the day he ate of the fruit, he found that he was separated from God. All of us at birth, we are separated from God. Mankind has been separated from God by sin. That's why the world is in the shape that it is in. When we look at all the disasters, the horror, the terror, the murders, and just go on and on and on. In Ephesians 2, verse 1, it says, speaking to people that are alive, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins. The Bible says that all of us are dead in our trespasses and sins. Yet people who are in Christ are alive even if they die. The Bible says, I am the resurrection and the life. This is the words of Jesus Christ. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me shall live, even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. This is what Jesus Christ said. He that believes in me, even if he dies, shall live. So we see that the state we are in this life determines our eternal life, our eternal destiny in the next life. You're either alive now and you'll die and be alive, or you're dead now and you'll be raised from the dead to the place of torment, as we see in the text. If we are in our sins in this life, we shall die eternally in the next. But if I am alive in Christ in this life, I know that 5 minutes after I die, that I shall be with Christ for eternity. Do you know this? Do you have this assurance? Jesus Christ said, he who believes in me shall live even if he dies. Do you have that hope? Do you have that assurance today? Do you know, based on the scripture, based on the one that rose from the dead, he's the one that gave the testimony. Someone that was dead and is now alive. From our text, we can find that we will be alive for eternity in one place or the other. Not only do we see in our text that the both men were alive after they died, but they were conscious of where they were. They were conscious of the fact that one was in paradise and one was in torment. Notice what Abraham said in verse 25. After the rich man asked Lazarus to dip his finger in the water and come to cool off his tongue. Verse 25 says, but Abraham said, son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things. And likewise, Lazarus received evil things. But now, he is comforted and you are tormented. You have two groups of people. One group is tormented and one group is comforted. These men were conscious. People think, I've heard people say, oh, I can't wait till I die. Then it'll be all over. The Bible says it's not going to be all over. It's just going to start. And you will be either in the place of comfort or you will be in the place of torment. That's the meaning of the text. And you will be conscious of it. Realize what it says there. He, in verse 24, then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. All that man wanted was a drop of water. A drop of water, and he didn't even receive it. He was conscious of the fact that he was in torment. From this verse, we see that we will be conscious. We will be conscious of the present. In the afterlife, the rich man realized that now Lazarus, you know, when you would walk by that homeless person, that person in the gutter, that person that you see all down and out and everything, you're like, you walk right on by with your nice clothes, your nice house, nice clothes, nice money, nice family, nice food. Just go on and on and on. Lazarus, though, now, he was in paradise. And yet the rich man was in torments. He saw the beggar being comforted in paradise. He realized that now he needed what Lazarus possessed. That rich man that had everything, now he's begging Abraham to send the beggar to just give him a drop of water. And when that beggar was alive, he just wanted some crumbs from the table. And the rich man didn't want to have nothing to do with them. Now, the roles have been reversed. See, people think because they have it somewhat nicer that this is always going to be what it is. That they're going to die and then they're going to get to heaven and it's going to even be better. But according to the text, it's just the opposite. The Bible says it's harder for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to go into the kingdom of God. The rich man has become now the beggar. How ironic is that? Bill Gates has now become the beggar. He's the one in the street begging for a drop of water. A drop of water. And let me tell you, tonight, that man is still looking for that drop of water. Because there's no relief for him. There's no relief. He was looking for a drop of water 2,000 years ago. He's looking for a drop of water now. 2,000 years from now, he'll be still looking for a drop of water. 20,000 years from now, he'll still be looking for a drop of water. Because that's the thing about the place of torment. There is no relief. The rich man has become the beggar. Lazarus has become the rich man, enjoying the eternal blessings of one who has turned his life over to God. Lazarus turned his life over to God Almighty. And the rich man was enjoying his stuff. He was too busy with his stuff. He had no need for God. I don't need God. I'm healthy. I'm wealthy. I'm happy. I'm clappy. I got money. I got friends. I got relationships. God obviously is pleased with me. And God says, no, at the end you played the fool. You played the fool. You thought that because you had some physical blessings, some financial blessings, some material blessings, you didn't need God Almighty. Please understand that the rich man's wealth had nothing to do with his eternal state. I've buried dozens and dozens and dozens of people, and when I look in that casket, they ain't got none of the money with them. The best they got maybe a nice suit on or a nice dress. That's about it. And maybe they got a piece of jewelry that if they're holding on to that after they drop the box in the ground, they're rifling that ring or jewelry off them. All right. But they ain't got nothing. The question is tonight, do you have Jesus Christ and eternal life? Or are you living your life without Christ and at the moment you die, 5 minutes later, you will be in the place of torments? This is God tonight warning you through the scriptures. You are faced as the rich man and Lazarus was. Is it Christ and eternal life, or is it rejection of Christ, of God, and eternal punishment? This is the issue that's facing us tonight. It's not, my wife divorced me, my husband divorced me, I lost my money, I lost my family, I lost my job, I lost my kids, life is bad, life is terrible. That is when life is really bad and really terrible. Because every one of us here, brothers and sisters, tonight, we all have our tragedies. We all have our sad stories. We all know death, pain, heartache, disaster, bankruptcy. Just go down the list. Every one of us you talk to, they have this. Everybody has a sad story. All of us. That's because sin has come into this world. Sin is sad. But realize this. Our conscious state survives physical death. The moment you die, you will be conscious for all eternity. And you will be in heaven or you will be in hell. And Lazarus' conscience was at peace. It was at peace because he knew that he had been forgiven. I would ask you tonight, do you know that your sins are forgiven you? If you do not know your sins are forgiven you, your conscience torments you. It'll take you back 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years. What you did as a kid, what you did as a teenager, what your mother did, your father did, your grandparents did, what you did to them, what your sisters did, your brothers did, your neighbors did, your co-workers did. And your conscience will just eat away at you and eat away at you and eat away at you. But now Lazarus' conscience was at peace. It was at peace because he knew he was forgiven. It was because he knew he turned his life over to God. And that by turning your life over to Jesus Christ, you will experience peace of mind. You that would be here tonight with a tortured conscience. You that have lived your life and regretted, I wish I didn't. I should have. I could have. If I only would have. You can know peace of mind tonight. Christ said, my peace that I give to you. The psychiatrist's offices are filled with people that just want peace. Please tell me. Tell me something that'll give me peace. People pop pills all day long, drink gallons of alcohol all day long, go on trips, go on vacation, build up CDs, build up bank accounts, get in relationships because they want to find peace. And Jesus Christ says, peace unto you. Peace is only found in Christ and Christ alone. Not Hinduism, Buddhism, Shintoism. Okay, I thought you wanted a question. We'll have to ask a question at the end. And amen, we're taking amen now. No. Not only will we be conscious of where we're at, but we shall be with Christ or we shall be without Christ. Verse 22 tells us that Lazarus was carried to Abraham's side by the angels. Will you be carried to Abraham's side, to his bosom, to paradise? Or will the angels carry you off to hell, to the place of torments? Lazarus left his world of hunger and pain, and he was taken to paradise. This world, brothers and sisters, is just but a breath. It's just a vapor. 70, 80, 90, 100 years at best. Unless you're one of them schmucker kids on the television with the jelly, 100-year-old crowd, even if you make it to 100, 110, 120, the party's over. And then you're looking at an eternity. And the question is, where will you be? Will you be with Christ or will you be in hell? Most people, they think they're going to heaven. Very few people that I ever talked to, they believe they're going to hell. Like 5% of the people I talked to believe they're going to hell, and 90% of the people believe that they're going to heaven. And why would they say they're going to heaven? Most people say, I wasn't that bad. But do you know that the Bible says there's no one good? No, not one. That's what your Bible says. There's no one good? No, not one. There's no one righteous? No, not one. There's none who do good? No, not one. There's none who seek after God? No, not one. There's none who understands? No, not one. So if you were to tell me tonight you're going to heaven because you're good, you're saying God's a liar because God said, no, there's not one good. No one. That's why all of us need Jesus Christ. No matter what kind of a sinner you are. A great sinner, medium sinner, small sinner, religious sinner, prostitute on the street, drug addict, guy up on Wall Street, woman down there, over here, guy over here. It doesn't matter. We're all sinners. That's the thing we all got in common. I'm looking at every age group, every color group, every kind of group of people here tonight. And I'll tell you what we all have in common. We're all sinners. And the question is, are you a saved sinner? Or are you a damned sinner? See, a damned sinner is somebody that thinks that they're going to be accepted by God Almighty because of their works, because of their goodness, because of their church attendance, because of their giving, or whatever. A saved sinner is one that looked to Jesus Christ. Because many of you probably know the story. There was two other crosses besides Christ. Christ was in the middle. And there was a thief on one side and there was a thief on the other side. And the one thief kept on blaspheming him and cursing and stuff. And the other one said to Jesus Christ, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus Christ said to him, today, not tomorrow, next week, when you die, he said, today you will be with me in paradise. Salvation is in a moment of time. Today. You're hearing the word today. All you need to know tonight is that you will confess your sins to God Almighty and believe in Jesus Christ, and you will go to paradise when you die, as opposed to going to the place of torment, which all of us, we're going to go to one place or the other. And as I said, you can know it, that you have eternal life right now. In the book of John, it says, he who has the Son has life. That's what the Bible says. This ain't what Bill Potts says. This is what your Bible says. 1 John 5, verses 12 and 13. This is what it says. He who has the Son has life. What's the opposite of that? He who does not have the Son does not have life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. That's what it goes on to say. I write these things to you who believe. If you were to be a believer here tonight, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life. You can know tonight that you have eternal life. Not that at the end God's going to weigh it out, oh, kind of good, kind of bad, but in the middle, kind of purgatory deal for you. It's not that. There's two places, the place of torment or paradise. That's it. And you know it now. You settle your destiny now. Not when you die. People think that it's at their death. He says you would have life now. Life now. So that you would not be condemned. For Christ has crossed over from death to life. Understand that Christianity. Give me another 5 or 10 minutes, okay? Understand that Christianity is not a hope so, but a no-so salvation. Salvation is not, I hope so. It's, I know so. That's what it means to have faith. See, I know I have eternal life because I believe that verse I just read it to you. He who has the Son has life. And by faith, you ought to believe that. Not if I do enough good, by simply believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, I and all Christians that believe shall be with Christ. The day is coming when we shall be in the very presence of His glory. All the saints will gather around them and shout, salvation belongs to our God who sits upon the throne and to the Lamb. Why are we gathered here tonight? Why are people gathered together here at Kessler from every walk of life talking about some Jewish carpenter from 2,000 years ago? Well, what is that all about? If it's not about salvation, if it's not about heaven and hell, what is the reason that Christians went into the Colosseum being eaten alive by lions and tigers and panthers and they're singing praises? You know why they did that? Because they know that they're not going to die, that they have life, that you, when you die, you take off these old clothes and you put on glorious clothes. You put on the same body that Christ came up out of the tomb with. That's why the martyrs didn't fear death, because they knew they had life. But the problem is that those that do not want life, they think that they're going to die and that's it. That's it, that it's all over. But that is not what it is. Our earthly opportunities, brothers and sisters, realize this. Our opportunities here will be gone forever. Verse 28 tells us, this is what the rich man said. Then he said, I beg you therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house. Now notice, here's the poor man, the rich man. He's in the place of torment. And you notice what he's done? He's still giving orders. He's telling Abraham, well, why don't you send Lazarus to go do this? And why don't you send Lazarus to tell my brothers? And why don't you send Lazarus to cool my tongue? Here he is. He still ain't learned his lesson. He's in hell now, and he's still thinking he's a big shot. Tell Lazarus to do this. Now he's telling them. Then he said, I beg you therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house, for I have 5 brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Here's the man in hell begging and pleading that Abraham would send Lazarus to tell his brothers. It is good that the rich man was concerned for his brothers. He became concerned because he was presently experiencing the torment he knew that they were soon to face. You that would have brothers and sisters, husbands and wives, children. This is why we're here tonight. This is why this group of people came here going up to the rooms. To tell the 5 brothers to come to hear the word. Don't go to that place. Please, we're begging with you. We're pleading with you. They were concerned. That's why they went to get you. To say, please. As the rich man begged Lazarus to go and to tell his five brothers, please do not go to this place of torment. 5 minutes after we die, we will have no more opportunities. You are hearing the word tonight, and if you'll be blind to it, any one of us, the next moment could be our death. As a matter of fact, I'm going to say it once again. The person who's awake, I have to go, the person died in a moment. In a moment. That's what was the tragedy of it all. The person died in a moment. In the very hospital. The woman seeing her husband, her father die right before her eyes in a moment. In a moment. But right now, the Lord has given us all an opportunity. Has given us all an opportunity. What will you do with Christ? What will you do with Christ? Know that our destinies will be fixed for eternity. Know the somberness of it tonight. You are staring eternity in the face. The rich man chose an eternity separated from God, and he made that choice while he was still alive. Sad to say, some tonight will say, I don't believe that. I don't care about that. I lived my whole life without Christ. I had my religion. I don't care. Go back to the room, turn on the TV. That's it. That's it. Everybody had their opportunity. Somebody came to me. Anybody that's here, that's a child of God, somebody came to you and told you about Jesus Christ. And you said, yes, I will believe in him. Or you will either say, yes, you'll believe in him, or you will say, no. The rich man chose an eternity separated from God. He chose to reject God. And God, he will honor your choice. If you don't want nothing to do with him, he will most gladly accommodate you. He will pass you right over. And he will leave you in your sin. Lazarus chose paradise while still on this side of life. He repented and believed. The question is tonight, will you be as Lazarus, who repented and believed? Or will you be as the rich man that says, I have no need of God. I have no need of a Savior. I am more than able to take care of myself. And lastly, as we're coming to a close, let me read you 26. And besides all of this, between us and you, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed. So that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us. There's no, I'm getting out of hell and I'm going to heaven. There's no, I'm going to purgatory and I'm going to heaven. Purgatory is not even in the Bible. It's heaven or it's hell. There's a great chasm that's fixed there, and once we've passed on, there's no longer a choice to be made. Tonight you have heard the truth. You know there's a heaven, there's a hell. There's a Savior that has paid for the sins of his people. You have the choice facing you tonight. Will you come to Christ? One said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And the other kept blaspheming him. For all eternity, Christ in the middle, two thieves. On each side, one on each side of him. One kept blaspheming, and the other asked him to save him. There were two destinies. In John 5, verse 24, the scripture says, most assuredly, these are the words of Jesus Christ, the one that was raised from the dead, the one that is alive today. In John chapter 5, verse 24, he says, most assuredly, when he's saying most assuredly in the scripture, it's like you can take it to the bank, count on it, it is absolutely true. I swear by myself who's no greater. That's what Christ is saying. Most assuredly, I say to you, hear the words of Jesus Christ tonight. You that would say that you believe in Christ. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me, who believes in him, the Father who sent me, Jesus Christ speaking, has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. That's what we're all faced with tonight. He who believes in him, the Father, who has sent me, Jesus Christ, has everlasting life. Not going to have everlasting life. It's going to be weighed out. They have it now. Has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment. So what's the flip side of that? He who does not believe in him who sent me, they do not have everlasting life. And it says, and shall not come into judgment. So those ones will come into judgment. And those who have believed have passed from death unto life. I have eternal life now. I'm not going to have any more eternal life than I have already. I'm going to have a different change of clothes on. This old fellow ain't going to look the way he looks now. And that's the question tonight that all of us are faced with, brothers and sisters. You must make a choice tonight. You are faced with an eternity. You are faced with either the place of torment or paradise. And tonight, by simply confessing your sin, repenting of your sin, and believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, you can have eternal life today. Not I'm going to get it tomorrow. It says today. You can know it today by simply confessing, repenting, and believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And I would urge you, I would beg with you, I would plead with you, I would jump up and down for you if I thought that would matter. I would give you money if I thought that that would matter. I would smile with you, cry with you, laugh with you, talk with you, I would do whatever. But as a minister, all I'm commanded to do is to preach the word to you, to tell you what the Bible says. And Christ said, if that be done, if he would be lifted up, that he would draw all men to himself. He would draw all kinds of men and women, old, young, black, white, Asian, Latino, no matter what. I will draw all kinds of people. And the only people that are going to hell are the people that don't want to go to heaven. Because Christ has told you plainly how you can go to heaven, how you can have eternal life. It says, he who has the Son has everlasting life. So I would beg you to come tonight to the one that can give you everlasting life. And all you need to do is to ask him. He said, you have not, for you ask not. I would ask you tonight. I would beg with you. Please, come to Jesus Christ. For in him and him alone is eternal life. And dear Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you that you have made it clear in your word that there are two places, that there is paradise and there is the place of torment. And Father, we would pray that there would not be one here in our midst tonight that would go to the place of torment, but that everyone here, Father, would come to Christ, would come to the cross, would come with their sins just the way they are. You have not told us to clean up our lives to come. You have told us simply to come with all of our sins and to give them to you. For you have paid the price for our sins. You have paid the penalty that was due our sins. That was the reason you came, you lived, and you died. That you would be the sacrifice for our sins. That you would be the atonement. That you would be the Passover lamb. In order, Father, that we would have eternal life. And Father, I would pray tonight that you would draw everyone that is here tonight to Christ. For there is salvation. There is eternal happiness. There is peace of mind. There is forgiveness for sins. There is where we are reconciled to you, Father. For apart from Christ, we stand condemned. But we know, Father, that if we come to Christ, that we shall find pleasures forevermore, for all eternity. And Father, we thank you and we praise you for this opportunity to proclaim your word. And I would ask, dear Heavenly Father, if there would be anyone with any questions, that they would come to the various men and women here tonight. And they would speak of matters of eternal life. And we thank you that we were able to hear the word proclaimed. And we thank you and praise you in that same precious name, Jesus Christ. And all the people of God said,